right? Okay. So, and I, as a senior pastor, I will tell you this, I take that serious. And what I mean by that is, like, I want to see all of us be ready for that. Because this is it. God is putting people in your lives that need to hear his gospel. Whether you know it, believe it, or see it, God is. And there have probably been times, and I'm right in this boat with you, that we have missed it because we were not prepared. We weren't ready to give the gospel in that moment. Our hearts may have been the issue. It may have been that we weren't believing that fully in the gospel in that moment, or we were just struggling, right? But I want us, Monday through Saturday, be ready. God wants to use you. Do you believe that, church? God wants to use you. And in that, we have to be ready. Right? And today we're going to kind of talk about that kind of stuff, and what it means to be resilience, right? To have a life that is one of resilience. To have life that is, when life comes hitting you, you're ready for it. That you're not buckling. That you can take it. And it's not by because of your strength. It's because what God has already been doing and planting inside of you. And one of the cool things that as I was studying for this sermon, this verse really hit. This is Matthew 3:17, and this is the voice of God. Think about that for a second. The voice of God audibly saying this. And the voice from heaven said this, "This is my son whom I love and with whom I am well pleased." Kind of a simplistic statement. But what this does is set the platform for Jesus before he even started doing his main ministry. Think about that. God just justified everything Jesus was going to say with this statement. He gave him full confidence. Hey, this is my son. Everything he does is going to glorify me. Everything he speaks about is going to glorify me. And you better listen. That's an awesome statement. That's an awesome thing to be, like, to know, like, if I had a boss, I do have bosses, if, you know, in my life, they come up and go, okay, everything you're saying, we fully support. We are 100% behind you. We think you've got this. Man, I want you to know the confidence that I have from that point on, because I know and I trust the voices that are being said to me. I'm encouraged, I'm empowered, I am ready to do what God has called me to do. I'm ready to do whatever activity that I am called to do. If I was a mechanic and I had a 20-year vet, a 50-year vet that said, hey, I just saw you do something that a rookie or a 50-year vet would make a mistake, and you being a rookie seeing that, oh man, you've got this. You've got this. You could probably take any car that comes in here and just make it better. Do you know how much that uplifts? You want to go to that mechanic from that point on, right? Am I right? This is that moment that God voiced the power over his son, saying, listen, this is my son who I am well pleased with. He's going to do amazing things. Whew. Set the standard right there. Now, I want you to think about some of Jesus' life. In the ministry, was it fun? Was it free? Was it easy? Did people doubt him? Absolutely. His buddies that he traveled around for 3 years doing ministry, and they got to see him do amazing things, right? They got to see him do miracles. They got to see him walk on water. They got to see him heal eyesight. They got to see, just by touching him, he healed people. Amazing things happened. Did they doubt him sometimes? Yes. Do you think that frustrated him? Yes, I do. In fact, he told Peter what? Hey, Satan, get behind me. And it wasn't a friendly statement. It was, get behind me. You're not doing this right. You're not seeing this. You're not hearing it. He's frustrated. And I want to tell you, listen, first off, God is doing this. His voice, I'd love for you to understand this. The moment that we decide Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we believe he's the only way, right? He's the only way to live. He's the only way to have life. He's the only way, if you really want to get down, to be in heaven. He's the way. It's how we live, right? From that point on, he has voiced this over you. No amens? I'm telling you right now, like I'm not in the amen business, but man, that should change how you look at life. That should change how you walk. This should change how you live this life. It should be one of courage. It should be one of faith. One of that. Oh, I can do all things. Why? Amen. I knew I could count on him. That voice above. Right? 1 John 4:19 says this. We love because he first loved us. Man, underline that. Make that your insignia for this week. Everything you do, everything you say, man, he loved me first, therefore I can love you. It almost becomes like a victory call. It almost becomes something in which it's a challenge. Okay, I am going to love you, Clifton. I called you out. I love you. Sorry. I'm going to love you. You can't stop it. Why? My God loves me. My God has changed me. My God is what resounds in me. And he says, listen, a voice from heaven said, this is my son who I am love, who I love and who I am well pleased. This is my daughter, my son, who I love and I am well pleased. You put yourself in that moment and it changes everything in perspective of how you live and breathe and walk and do ministry. Do life. And ministry is not just something that I'm saying that, okay, it confines within this paper. This is ministry. No, 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 no. That's part of it. But the reality is this. I breathe ministry. I live ministry. I am part of ministry because God has got a calling on my life and he has voiced it from this point on. And I can't sit idly by. Right? But I want to tell you, life ain't easy. Am I right? Life can be really not fun and dealing with these things. And we have this, I know for you, for me, in my development with my walk with God, I thought all things, the moment that I got right with God, all things would be utopia and perfect. And I will tell you, even early on, as a high school student, when I got saved, guess where I wanted to spend all my time? I didn't want to go to school, not because I didn't like the work, not because I didn't want to be a good student, because I didn't want to have the chance to sin. I didn't want to have the chance to do something wrong. I didn't want to be corrupted by those who are outside of this. I wanted to be surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that were going to lift me up and love me, and it was going to be safe. And I had no chance to backtrack from God. Right? Anybody else want that? Right? It just makes life so much better. And you come here, and you're like, we're all supposed to love each other. Now, there have been times in ministry, no. Am I right? Right? And I started to understand as I started to mature in my faith that this is not where God has called me to be in my safe little bubble of faith. That's not how faith works. We kind of talked about it, that faith calls us out into the deep, right? And if you're not a swimmer, if you can only tread for like 2 minutes, that's pretty scary when you're called out into the deep of the oceans, when you're called out into the stuff that, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it, right? And I want to talk about, I don't have it on the slides this morning, but I want to talk about Daniel 6, right? And and we use this in the children's department a lot. I knew, like, we talk about the lion's den. I want you to know, this is so graphic and so crazy that it's not a children's story, right? This is full of corruption and sabotage. This is throwing somebody purposely to gain their own justifications into a den, knowing that they're going to be eaten. And I'd rather get ahead and have them die so I can have mine, right? Now, Daniel is a prophet. And he's a man of God, and he was taken by Nebuchadnezzar, and and he, like, because he has these gifts that he can interpret dreams, Nebuchadnezzar noticed it, and he became part of his court. And then all of a sudden, it just king from king to king, and he ended up with Darius, King Darius, all right? And King Darius loved him, right? And King Darius appointed these governors, 120 governors, and just like politics, got corrupt, right? We're not a political machine here, but if humans are a part of it, guess what happens? It's corrupt. When God's solely at it, what starts? It starts to be redeemed. There's a huge difference there. All right? Now, Darius loves Daniel. Daniel is a man of God. He knows it. And Darius is not really a man of God. He just values what his belief, what Daniel believes, and he sees what how it benefits him as a king, right? And so he has these 120 governors, and these governors starting to get together and like, we don't like the fact that Daniel's in charge of us. We don't like that. And so they decide to start to sabotage. They start getting this edict passed that once it gets signed, it cannot be reversed. And what happened was this. They got something. They knew the relationship with Daniel and God is you can't separate it, right? And they knew, man, if we attack that, we're going to get them. So they decided, hey, we're going to put in there that you can only pray to the king for 30 days. You can't pray to anybody else. And if you're caught praying, death is the penalty. And Darius just signed off on it. Didn't read it, didn't think about it, just signed off on it. And then it was posted, it was announced. It was just like this morning, you got to see the announcements. They sat hey, you cannot do this. And Daniel sees this. And what does he do? What does he do? This is awesome. I love this. Let me read it real quick, all right? Let me find it. All right. Now when Daniel learned of the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. Okay, I want you to know, Daniel knew what he was doing. Take that for note. He was just praying. And it was against the law to pray for these next 30 days. And he said, uh-uh. Did he close his windows so nobody could see him? Nope, they were wide open. And what was his first words? This is also awesome. It wasn't, Lord, save me from these men. It was giving thanks. Do you think Daniel knew that life was more with God and that he had him? That no matter what the circumstances that he was going through, that God's good? Because I think he did. And he got arrested. And he got thrown, and then all of a sudden, he's in prison, right? And the governors are coming to the king saying, listen, this is what you signed. You can't go against this. If you go against this, you'll have a revolt, and your people will go against you. And he was caught in a rock and a hard spot. Can you imagine that? Because we live in these moments of our life. We get put in these positions that we are in a rock and a hard spot of having to make this decision of what the world thinks is right and how they capture us in certain ways. And God has this way, and he doesn't even necessarily believe in this God. He just doesn't want to make this God upset. And he's stuck. I think a lot of us get to that point. We get stuck, and we don't know what to do, and we panic, and we fret, and we just don't know how to act. And somewhat, we become self-preservationist, and we just do what we can to survive. Am I right? And a lot of the reason that we get put in these situations is because God has a bigger calling out of our life. One that the world doesn't understand, one that doesn't look the same as the values of this world, and he comes on and says, hey, I need you to follow me. I want you to say yes to me. And if it cost you your job, if it cost you your friendship, if it cost you, so be it. I've got you. And I want you to know, these words are really easy to say up here. But to live them out is something different. And in this moment, this was being lived out because he knew this was probably death for Daniel. Daniel knew, and my God is bigger, right? And guess what? So they threw him in the lion's den. And Darius panicked all night. He didn't sleep. He didn't get his entertainment. He didn't get food. He was worried about his friend. He didn't want to see him die. He didn't want those things to happen to him. And so he was caught in a rock on a hard spot, chose probably the wrong thing, waiting for his friend. In his early morning comes when the time was supposed to be done. He was expecting, once I lift that cap, he yells down there, "Are you alive? Are you here?" He was probably expecting, maybe at the most, "Ouch! I'm dying! Please save me!" This is what's awesome about God. This is what's awesome about Daniel in this moment, that he shut that lion's mouth. And he just probably gave thanks while being in the den. Now think about that real quick, too. The lion's den is not something we need to be in. It is not appealing. It's not exciting. The story, like if you think about it as a movie, you think about it as a story, you're like, "Oh, that is so cool. That's crazy. God is so good. That's awesome. And we can put it on our back." I want you to know, nobody wants to be in this situation where we are living on the edge of like, "I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to breathe next moment. My life is crumbling before me, and maybe I'm the one that's sabotaging myself. Maybe it's other people that have sabotaged me. Maybe it's just the people around me are not good for me, and I have chosen wrong all this long, and I'm just come to my point in my life that there's no hope." In all reality, my thought with Daniel that you don't see, because he's such a faithful man, because he believed God so much, yes, I think there were moments he thought, "Well, here we go. I'm not going to make it." But he was resolute in thinking, "God is big. God is my God, and I will do what he wants of me." And see, church, to be resilient means facing these things with that kind of confidence, with that kind of courage, that kind of faith. And it is only a gift by God that we have that. You see, Daniel speaks up and goes, "Hey, I'm here. I'm good." Darius is super excited, lowers a rope, "Let's get him out." And what I love about this is it's so detailed, not a scratch on him. He's good. It was like a tame lion, right? But I'm going to tell you, it's not true. This lion's not tame. This is the part of the story you're like, "Ha-ha!" And I don't know how I feel about this, having this moment of like, "Ha-ha!" Right? This is part of the story that Darius, the leader, the king, that's not necessarily a godly man, but he decides, okay, the people that just did this, the people that caused this situation, I want them in this hole. I want their family in this hole, their wives, their kids. They're all going in this hole. Put them in that hole that morning, and guess what? Within minutes, they're dead. Their bones were crushed. God is real. Think about that for a moment. And then when we fail, when we face life situations, when we're faced with moments of no hope, God is real. And we do this with the mindset and an understanding, okay, no matter what happens, because my God is real, I will lead the way that he has called me to lead. And I will tell you right now, first and foremost, guess what? You guys are all called to lead. You are. Any shape, form, where you're at, you are called to lead, to bring people to him, to share the story that he has in your life and how he transformed you, to bring that to God. And guess what? Just like Jesus, it's never going to be easy. Life is not easy. Life is full of ups and downs. Life is filled with people disappointing you, taking advantage of you, saying things about you that you're going to be like, where did that come from? Why does that hurt so bad? Guess what? That is part of life. And we come in and we can either be resilient, understanding my God is bigger than those things, and love them the way God has called us to love them, or we can crumble and be part of the system that is just chewing everybody up. You get it? Because those are our options. We have two options. We start defending ourselves and we start taking people down with us, or we allow God to do the work. We trust God that just like Daniel in the lions, then he's got this. I know this isn't fun. It doesn't make it fun. He wasn't having fun standing there, sitting there, looking at that lion all night, I'm pretty sure. I don't think this was a glorious vacation for him. Right? Life is this. We have people that will say things and do things. We will even sabotage ourselves many times. But God comes in and says these couple of words. We're going to skip. He says this, be confident of this, that who began a good work in you will carry it on completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Man, that should give you strength. That should give you understanding. You were called, that this isn't a mistake. The day that you said yes to him, maybe you're sitting here wondering if I even do believe. I want you to know this is the God that loves you. I want this to be understood that he doesn't just go and send his son to die on a cross for you. He goes to battles for you. In fact, at some point, there's going to be moments in your life that he's going to send you to battles. Better be ready. You see, church, we talk about we need to have some end times discussions. We need to have the hellfire and brimstone. And I will tell you, I think they had a place. But but the reality is this: he's waiting for you to be the fire in people's lives. There's a revival that has started in Kentucky with college students. I don't know if you've seen it. Such a cool thing. They just announced on campus there that, okay, all right, we're still going to allow you to meet during the day, but we're going to shut down. Like, they were having service 24/7 during this time. 11 days. Thank you. God's Spirit is moving. And it's college students that are answering. And what's cool is people are traveling from all over the United States wanting to be a part of this. That's awesome. The Spirit is moving. And guess what? I think what God is doing in this moment, and these college students, and doing here this moment, doing everywhere in the churches this moment, he's equipping you to be ready to be his soldier, to be Daniel, to be ready for the conflict, to be resilient. He's ready for you to be courageous followers of Christ. To love the people that need to be loved. To stop backbiting each other. To stop being critical of each other. To stop thinking inwardly and start thinking outwardly, because that God has said, I have sent you to go share my gospel, to go be part of people's lives, not to hermit spiritually. Right? He says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will... works in you to will and to act in order to fill his good purpose. Okay, this morning, anytime, there have been mornings, and this, again, this is not that I've had people say, great sermon, Pastor, great sermon. I want you to know it is from the will of God that anything that you got from that morning is the gift from God to me to relay to you. I consider it an honor and privilege to do this. To be a part of that. Do I mess up? Absolutely. But is my God bigger than my mess ups? Absolutely. Right? Now, if I am saying that, I want you to understand this from this point of view. He's doing the same thing with you. He wants to use you. He wants your gifts and talents to glorify his kingdom because it's the wholeness of what we have called to be. Do you understand? Like, that's joy. I think there was two emotions that Daniel was having down in the den. One of like, okay, he's not hungry, we're good. When is he going to get hungry? Right? And then the other emotion, God's got this. I think we live in that balance that we need to understand, yes, this world is ready to devour us, but God's got us. Am I willing to walk out into the deep with this? Am I willing to be resilient? And let me give you some things that as I was studying for this, that I thought, man, that's quality things in which other smarter people have said that I think we need to carry on, right? Richard Blackburn said this, stay calm, stay connected, and stay the course. Man, talk about faith being that. Stay calm. I associate with prayer. It is the time to breathe in God, understand what God is all about. He brings peace and understanding of where I'm at in this chaotic world. To stay the course, stay connected, right? We need to stay connected to God, stay connected to each other. That I know how we, the cloud of witnesses, can be praying for you, lifting each other's burdens up. We're not in this war alone. Right? And to stay the course. It is so easy to bear away. It is so easy to take a break. It is so easy to say, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And guess what? God wants us to continue to move with him. He will feed us the energy. He will give us the energy. He will give us the strength. Do you believe it? Do you? All right, we got this. So the challenge is this. Be resilient. Be a resilient follower of God this week. When life starts hitting you, when the struggle starts, you'd rather sit on the side and be like, all right, this is somebody else's battle. No, God has put you there for a reason. And he has called your name, and he said, I am well pleased with this one right here. Have the confidence of knowing that and believing that this week. Right? So three things that I would love for us to do as we stay resilient, stay calm. I don't know about you. If I'm being lowered into a den with a lion, I'm probably not staying calm. I would turn straight sissy, right? And hope it hits it in the nose and it cowers away. That's my image right there. Right? It ain't staying calm. But this is the thing. God has called us in these moments. I really believe it. If we have faith, God's got this. Life is, like, the world's going to see it. And, like, don't you see it? The world's around you and everything that's in your life. You're losing. Like, what's going on here? And they see the peace in you because you know God is good. God's got this. And no matter what the situation is, you know, if my family life has fallen apart, if I'm losing my job, if I don't think I can pay the next bills, or if I'm struggling with certain addictions, guess what? My God is bigger if I believe it and I see it and I stay calm and not be overwhelmed by the situation, but be overwhelmed by God's presence. Right? How about this one? Stay connected. You know, church, I think this is very important for us, and it's not just because I want butts in the seats. I think being connected with each other are so essential in our development, in our relationship with God. I think we need each other, not to be critical of each other, but to help lift each other up, to pray for each other, be there for each other, to make that extra phone call or text message and say, hey, I know you had that meeting today. How did it go? I was praying for you. Imagine if we were in the lion's den and somebody's like reaching down there. Darius was so scared, so worried. And whether he knew it or not, I bet you God was hearing his prayers that night. And he answered them. Right? Stay the course, church. It is so easy to get diverted. It's so easy in this world with all the distractions that we have, social media, all the things that are going on, and be, oh, the world's coming to an end. Oh, that's not staying the course. Guess what? Who wins this? That's right. Let's have faith in that. Let's trust that God has a plan for this and that we just get to be a part of it. Right? That's the answer to that whole question. If it comes tomorrow, are you ready today? If it comes not in our lifetime, were you ready today? Stay the course. Right? Be confident that God has put a plan in you. He's doing things. Believe it. And I'm telling you right now, the more we start to do these things, the more that it becomes a muscle of who we are. Man, just like Daniel, the things that we face, we get put into their place because we believe God is this and these things that we deal with are this. Right? Man, it puts everything into place when we know it. So, to wrap up, I want to give such a cool thing that happened at the end of this story here, right? King Darius wrote this to all the nations and the peoples of every language in all the earth. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of the kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. Daniel stayed the course. And the King Darius, who didn't even believe in his God, sent out a note, everybody start believing in this God. I issue a decree that every part of the kingdom people must fear and reverence the God of Abraham, God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. The kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders. In heavens and on earth, he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Wow! This is a king that didn't believe, and he's got more faith than a lot of people, right? And he sent this out to nations. We can do the same. It might be the same number, but there are people that God has put in our lives that need to hear this message, and we need to believe it for them to hear it. We need to stay calm. Stay calm, stay connected, stay the course. Stand with me, church. God is good, and I hope you believe it. I hope today, whatever you're going through, maybe you came in feeling hopeless and lost. My hope for you this morning is that you found this story to be one of real, that God is real in your life, that you have now been given these tools of going, okay, this is how I am going to follow God this morning. This is how I am excited to follow God this morning. I know he's bigger than my issues. I know he's bigger than my problems. I truly believe it. And just like Daniel and Den, I will pray and I will know and I will believe. Right? Church, go because God has called you to go and do his duty. God has called you to live a life that is to glorify him and believe it. But if you're dealing with doubt, if you're dealing with frustrations, if you're dealing with the worry of the den, know that God is bigger than them. Know that God loves you right where you're at. And this is what's cool about it too. He's calling your name right now. And he's giving you freedom from it this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your service, to be a part of your plan. Lord, if people are in the den, in the lion's den this morning, dealing with issues and concerns and worries and frustrations, and they've come to a point that they think the world is just coming down around them, man, Lord, may they hear your voice this morning. May you speak freedom to them. May you encourage them. May you give them the resiliency that they need to follow you. Lord, may we be called just like Daniel was, just like your son Jesus was. May we hear your voice and may we believe it today. We give you all the praise. Send us, Lord. Amen.